Right, you may be seated this morning. Did y'all enjoy that music this morning? I'll hear those words and see those words. Well, this morning, before we get into the message part this morning, looking at hope, I sort of asked around a little bit, trying to get an idea in my head as I prepare this morning. This is a Advent wreath. This is the candles of the Advent season. There are four Sundays leading up to Christmas, and then you have Christmas Eve. So this gives me an opportunity to plug Christmas Eve too, okay? Christmas Eve, we will have a service, 6:30 p.m., and I've invited the other churches as well, so maybe we'll have some folks come out. We can worship together that night. And it culminates on that night with a fifth candle being the white candle. The white candle represents Christ. It represents purity. And that is when that candle is lit. You light one candle per week. There are three purple and one pink. Just trying to give you a quick education here so you know what the heck's going on up here, okay? The pink one here represents the birth, yes, Jesus as well. And the three purple ones around, as we're going to look at today, represents the hope that we have in the coming. Again, Advent in Latin means expecting, okay? We are expecting Christ to come, amen? That's why we celebrate Christmas, right? Okay, and again this morning, there's few of us. Amen, let's all agree. Amen? Amen. All right, that means when I ask a question, my hearing's bad, so you got to really be loud, okay? Amen. All right. We'll get there together, okay? But looking at hope this morning, that's one of the purple candles, and then you move into faith, and then joy is the pink candle, and then you move into peace. And you do one candle a week, and it's a sort of a help to us. It helps us as we walk through the season because we get really busy, do we not? I know this is not a typical thing in Baptist churches, but I enjoy it because it's a daily reminder and a weekly reminder for us as family together here of why we celebrate this season, of why we have, as we're going to look at today, the hope that we have together. You can look around the world today and there's a lot of hopeless people, is there not? I mean, you don't have to look far, honestly. You can look around our own county or even within our own town and you can see hopelessness around us. And that's sad because we, as believers in Christ, as sons and daughters in Him, we know that we have been given, the ultimate hope of all of creation, and that's Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I'm going to light the candle of hope, and it will burn throughout the message. Now, I've got a fireman sitting down here near the front row. If something catches on fire and it starts burning, let me know, okay? And we'll do something about it, okay? I'm sure somebody will jump up, because we don't want to get it to Mike. Mike wears a lot of hairspray, and it'll just go, poof, okay? We don't want that, okay? All right, well, I don't want to call the fire department. We'd have to have Midland come all the way over here for that one, wouldn't we? No, I'm just kidding. Okay? And so this morning, lighting the candle of hope. And as that burn, as that flame is there, and as we can see that candle, again, by Christmas Eve, all these will be lit. And, of course, Christmas Eve as well, we will all hold candles as well. But just being able to look at that candle as a reminder to us that God is hope. God is literally hope, in essence. That's what He is to us. And this morning, as we think through some of that word and we look at that, I wanted to share with you guys the definition. Now, I think most everybody in the room probably knows the definition of hope, but maybe not. So let's go there first. It says a feeling or emotion of expectation for a certain thing to happen. Now, what is our hope for Christmas? Birth of Jesus. That's right. That's what we expect. That's what we celebrate. That was the coming of our King. It's the hope that we have, even in what seems to be a hopeless world around us. Now, it's funny. We sat down to watch a movie last night. We kicked the rest of the family out yesterday morning, right? Okay, we got them out of the house, and and had a party. No, I'm just kidding. and we had the party and we did all that. And then we did some things. And Kathy had to go to Walmart to grocery shop because we needed groceries. Not that we didn't have a fridge full of leftovers, right? Okay, right. Yeah, okay. And so had to go grocery shopping. And then we decided it would be great yesterday to go get Dacey and Ryan's first COVID shot and our booster shots. And so we feel wonderful this morning, let me tell you. But get those done, okay, and get that out of the way and get all that stuff done. Then we get back home and we're all, sort of tired. What are we going to do? And, well, it's Christmas time. What do you do at Christmas time? You watch Christmas movies, right? Not the Hallmark Channel. Sorry. Certain folks in the room. Not the Hallmark Channel movies, okay? Christmas movies, you know. Do y'all have some favorite Christmas? I'm a Christmas Story guy, I'll just be honest with you. I enjoy A Christmas Story. Kathy's like, no, I don't want to watch that. A Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life. That was one we watched every year in the Flack household, some of those. But last night, we watched a new movie on Netflix, and I would recommend it. If you go home today and say, what are we going to do this afternoon? Watch this movie. It's pretty good. Make sure I get the name right. It was called A Boy Called Christmas. Is that right, babe? Yeah, A Boy Called Christmas. And it was funny, though, because we're sitting there watching this movie, and it sort of starts out and has some things going on, and it has a father and a son, and they go travel a ways to this town, and they go to the king, and has some of these similarities about it, and they get to the king, and they have this crowd around this king, and the king is asking the people of this empire, this land, what do we need? And, of course, the people are starting to, we need universal health care. That was one thing that was said. We need, there were some other things listed that they were needing. They were saying all these monetary things, okay? And the king stops all of them in the movie and he says, no. I know what we need. And he says, what we need is hope. That's all he says. And I can tell you today that there's a lot of folks around us that if they could just have a little bit of hope, wouldn't it do them some good? I think it would. And the thing about it, church, is this, is that you and I celebrate, we've already come to this conclusion that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, amen, the birth of our King, yes. So we have that hope. We know that hope. That hope has been given to us, and look at a verse this morning, it's literally overflowing out of us, that hope. And so a challenge to you before we get into several scriptures this morning is simply this. This holiday season, during this Advent season, as we look at these candles, I challenge you, I encourage you to share that hope. You say, well, now you're talking about witnessing it. No, that's not even what I'm talking about. It could be that. But I'm talking about something as simple as a hello or a good morning. I'm talking about something as simple as opening a door. Even in small town Cahoma, you know what I've noticed? When you go to the post office, that's one of my regular stops, if you haven't figured that out yet. It's like my new Walmart, the post office. Judy in the post office, that's one of my stops now, okay? And when I go there, usually when I get up there, there's usually, an elderly person like a John or somebody like that coming up about, just like me, And it's just one of those simple things we can do. And this is a way you give hope. You open that door up. You smile really big. I know they went through the candles. You smile really big. And you just say, good morning. And I can tell you 99% of the time I do that, you get the biggest grins and the biggest smiles. And you can just tell. I've even had a couple of them say to me, I haven't talked to anybody all day long. You're the first person I've talked to. That's hope. Giving that hope. So this morning, if you have your Bibles or your phone apps, whichever, go to Psalm 103. We're going to start there, and then we're going to jump through four verses together. But let's start in Psalm 103 together this morning, and let's look at the first four verses this morning. And as I thought about hope and as I thought about Scripture, and I started praying through this first Advent Sunday and thinking, okay, what verses, what passage, what do I need to do? Naturally, God just starts pouring on. And before you know it, I have a long list. I'm like, I can't do that. They'll shoot me, So I start trying to pare down. I start trying to look. But there's so many good ones. It's hard to try to figure it out. And then God, in His greatness, I woke up the other morning. It may have been Wednesday morning or one of those mornings. And in the devotional time that I had, these verses were sort of the main point that morning. And they just sort of popped off the page at me. And I said, well, that's hope. This is hope right here for you and I. This is a reminder, the psalmist David writes to us, a reminder of the hope that we have through some of these, let's be honest, material things that we have in our lives. Are we blessed materially, church? I think we are. Yes, we are, okay? You know, we woke up this morning, our feet hit the floor, right? So that means, first and foremost, we have a home, yes, that, but a floor, yes. I was going a little more direct there, Conway. Yes, a floor, yes, we have a floor. A lot of people don't have floors, amen? Okay? I'd probably dare say that we probably have some parents in the room that grew up without floors back in the day. But we have floors. And then we get dressed and we put on clothes, and we have multiple clothes to choose from, right? Now, my wife would probably say, I need more help. But we have multiple clothes to choose from. And then what do? We go out and we choose which car to get into. I mean, you're getting the picture here. We are blessed materially, okay? None of us probably struggled with a meal this morning or any of those things. And we see the psalmist David right here, and he writes this passage, the first four verses here. And it's such a great reminder. Again, the psalmist is praising God here. And he says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. I mean, you're seeing it right before you. And who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Now, if you read that this morning, or if you highlight it in your Bibles and read it this week, you cannot possibly not be encouraged. That's all I can say. You cannot read those verses and not say, okay, God, You are my hope. And here's why. Let's break it down together this morning, then I'll share some other verses with you this morning. The very first thing that he says, you have given me more benefits than I can list. And we just went through some of them, amen? God gives and He gives and He gives, amen, right? Does He give to you over and over? Am I echoing again? I'm sorry. Some of y'all looking at me, back up. And He gives, and He gives. And I thought here, and I wrote down in my outline right here, I said, I'm going to write down some of those benefits. And I started writing them down. I'm going to be honest with you. You know what I did? I scribbled them out because I'm like, I'm going to be up here 30 minutes just talking about the benefits. Because we can all do that. And the only reason we have those benefits is because we have hope in an almighty God, correct? So we have all these benefits that we can't even list. But then He goes on to say, He has forgiven me my sins. I mean, there's no reason for us not to celebrate the birth of Jesus during the Christmas season, because we know that He willingly came knowing what He was going to do 33 years later. Amen? Die a brutal death on a cross. And He forgives our sins. Now, He doesn't just forgive them. He forgives them for all of eternity. We understand that concept, don't we? Okay? They've all been washed in the blood. They've all been forgiven. It goes on to say that He has healed my diseases. You ever feel a little rough? I'm feeling a little rough right now. You ever feel a little rough? Yeah, we do sometimes. We get sick, we have those things. And God is saying, I'm the God of hope. I'm the God, I'm the great physician that you can come to. And it says in Scripture, I will heal your diseases. But let's not be confused by the psalmist here. Does that mean every time somebody gets cancer or somebody gets COVID or somebody gets some kind of illness that's just nasty and deadly, does that mean that every time the healing means that they walk out of a hospital? No. It means sometimes the healing means that they walk in heaven with Jesus. We better understand that this morning. A lot of people become angry with God because, well, God did not heal so-and-so. Well, I dare say to you, if so-and-so is residing in heaven, He has healed far more than you and I can ever dream of. And so He heals our diseases. Our hope lies in that God. It goes on, though, to say that He redeems me. He saves me from hell. Now, again, Pentecostal a little bit, but that's where we need to grab onto the rafters and start swinging a little bit, because He redeems us from the worst place in the world. He says, I've checked your box. You're out. You're okay. You're good. So he redeems us. He saves us. And then he does something just far more. We saw the very first one. We can't list the benefits. But then it says he crowns me with love and compassion. Notice it says there in verse 4, he redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He literally gives us so much more. You know, heaven would be enough, amen, right? So I got to move around a little bit. Heaven would be, I mean, if we went to heaven, honestly, let's think about this first. Let's think about heaven, okay? Y'all have all heard descriptions of heaven, right? Shake your heads with me, okay? If you're a fisherman, it's going to be the best fishing hole. If you're a golfer, it's going to be the best. If you're a shopper, it's going to be the biggest mall. We've all heard those things, okay? In reality of heaven, if all it was a place for us to be on our knees before the Almighty God, that would be way more than we can fathom. Way more than we can dream up. It talks about streets of gold and pearly gates and all these things. I mean, it's just my brain, maybe yours can. Mine cannot conceive it. I cannot fathom that idea. And that's what he crowns us with. Now, some may be in this room this morning, even few in number, some may say, you know what, I don't have a lot of hope. If you have Jesus, look at me, you have more hope than the rest of the world. You hear me? If you have Jesus, you have more hope than the rest of the world. Well, the psalmist writes that out that way for us. And so I thought, well, I'm going to take some of those verses. So y'all flip with me. I'll give you a minute. Flip over to Romans. I'm going to prove David right this morning. Okay, flip over to Romans chapter 15. And let's look together. We'll look at a few verses together. And I promise I'll wrap it up this morning. But Romans 15, verse 13. And here it is. Here's where God sort of takes the title of hope himself. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. Again, I know I tell you all the time, write your Bibles. This is the time to do it, okay? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13, again, listen, it's saying God is the God of hope. But not only is he that hope, but he pours it into our lives through the Holy Spirit in which overflows. We have so much hope, basically we don't know what to do with it, right? Do y'all feel that way this morning? Shake your heads with me, okay? I know, I'm getting long-winded, okay? We have that kind of hope. We have so much hope, and it goes back to what I challenged at the beginning. We have so much hope that if we're keeping it all to ourselves, what's the point? Hear me? Scripture says God is hope, and that he fills us with his spirit of hope to the point that it's just oozing out of us, overflowing out of us. So when we have our worst days, we can still have hope. Okay, let's bring it down to our level. When our team loses, we still have hope. That's right. When we have a bad relationship, we still have hope. When a decision doesn't go our way, we still have hope. If we know that and we read it in Scripture, we see it from David, we read it here in Romans as well, that it's overflowing. Why is it that when we get in pickles, can I say it that way? When we get into a pickle, why is it that we turn away from God? Why is it that we turn against God? And yet we see and know that he's our hope. He's the expectation of hope for us this morning. All right, flip with me. Okay, go back to Isaiah. And yes, I've got a mark, so I'm going to beat you there. But Isaiah 40, 31. Some of these verses you're going to know. We're going to do four of them, I promise. I'm not going to add any to it. 4:31. Again, I'm going to start putting highlighters in the pews, I guess. I need to, don't I? It says, but those who hope in who? The Lord will do what? Renew their strength. Some of y'all's favorite verses in the room, I know. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Wouldn't that be nice, guys? You ever get to like Thursday? I'm looking at some of you right in eyeballs right now. You ever get to about Thursday or Friday and you go, man, I'm worn out. Or heck, maybe you get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're like, golly, is this day ever going to end? You ever been there? We've all been there. And we read right here in the scripture such a beautiful verse. And again, it says, but all those who hope in the Lord, basically the summation of the verse is they will renew their strength. Well, we've already learned, do we ever run out of hope, church?
Never.
A matter of fact, we have so much hope. What is it doing? Overflowing. Okay, so now we're putting two and two together here, aren't we? Okay, we're never out of hope. The only reason we do not have hope is because of who? Us, ourselves. We're blaming God. We're going against God. We're doing those things. And yet God says, I am the hope. I have the hope. If you have this hope, it's overflowing and you will be renewed. You will be given a strength far greater than you will understand. So even on your worst day, on your worst decision, on your worst relationship, you will have renewed strength. You ever wish you just had some of that strength? Well, where do you get it from, church? Jesus. He's the hope that refills us. He's the hope that fills us up again. Let's go to Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah 29:11. Y'all probably know this one without even going there, probably. Jeremiah 29:11. And I'll start reading and you're going to immediately go, oh yeah, I know that. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Isn't that awesome? And a future. Plans to give you hope. Now, it sort of almost sounds like it contradicts itself a little bit. Wait a minute. I'm overflowing with hope, and yet now here he is saying, I'm going to give you more hope? Isn't that what it sounds like a little bit? Y'all out there? I promise I'm going to wrap it up. You're like, you're long-winded. Stop, stop. That's right. But see, that's how good God is to us. Amen. He has poured and poured and poured this word, this expectation upon us. And then he says, listen, not only do you have it right now, but you have no need to worry about running out. Because, see, your plans are going to prosper in the future. I'm going to have that hope still waiting on you down the road. You ever gotten in your car and looked at your gas tank and go, I think I can do it. You ever been there? I've done it a few times and I didn't make it. But you know, it happens sometimes, right? But that doesn't happen with God. You don't wake up one day and go, well, all right, God's got me in the middle of this deal. Maybe I'll make it. I says, I'm going to give you the hope, but not only that hope, it's going to be a prosperous hope. It's going to be prosperous for your future. Now, are you saying, well, Pastor Mark, are you saying that everything's going to be rosy and peachy and all that kind of good stuff? You think I'm saying that? No, you're right, and I'm never going to preach that. God tests our faith. Why? Because he wants to sharpen us. He wants to grow us. He wants to make us better for those tests further down the road. Amen? But I do believe God has a prosperous future and a hope that's already waiting for us. And why is it there? Because who's already there waiting? Jesus. He's already there. We have no fears. Let's do one more this morning, okay? And this is a good one here. Revelation. Go all the way back to Revelation. All the way back, yeah. Some of y'all need to dust that book off. Revelation 21, verse 4. And again, I'll say it again. Underline it, highlight it. When you're really discouraged, read it. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. What's he talking about, church? Heaven. Where our current citizenship already belongs. You realize you're not American citizens, right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, where does your citizenship reside today? Heaven. And he's saying right now, this is my promise to you. This is my hope to you. You have a destination because this baby of hope, this expectation that came to earth, lived for 33 years, gave himself up on a cross with a crown of thorns for you and I. Because of this, we have a hope and an eternal home. Whereas, what does the verse say again? No pain, No death, no crying. Now this morning, I don't know about you, but speaking for myself, I can say that is an encouragement and a great hope for me. Because you cannot turn on the news today, can you? Now, if you can, you tell me the station, but I haven't found it yet. You cannot turn on the news and just go, well, isn't that nice, can you? Can't do it. Can't do it. Well, I don't really watch the news either, to be honest with you, but you can't do it. I know that. When COVID first started, I sort of gave up on news. But you can't do it. I've always thought, wouldn't it be neat if somebody would like operate a positive news station where they only run positive stories, but they would never last because you couldn't have the gossip and the fighting, could you? But God promises in Scripture, you have a hope because you have a place where life is literally, you ready? You ready for this? Perfect. Yes, my stomach's growling. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. So this Christmas season, the first Sunday in Advent, we get to celebrate a hope that, quite frankly, the world doesn't understand, but the world needs to hear it from us. Amen? I'm going to pray right now. We're going to have a time of commitment, maybe just a time of quietness together. If you need to pray with me this morning, maybe you have something going on in your life right now. You say, you know what, I'd feel hopeless in this. It's a struggle for me. It's a struggle for me to see that overflowing hope. Maybe you say, you know, I'd like you to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd be honored to do that. Maybe this morning you need to come to the altar and you just say, you know what, I need to give some of those things. Maybe I have not kicked this season off the way it should be kicked off. You say, well, it's still November, Mark. Well, we're, believe it or not, can you believe it, we'll be 3 weeks away. You'll blink and it'll be here. So maybe you have some of those things. I encourage you to do that this morning and really give that hope, give that opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to bank it in God this holiday season. I'm going to put it in Him. Even in those trying situations, I'm going to place it there and see what happens. So I'm going to pray right now. We're just going to have sort of a quiet moment together. I'd ask you maybe just keep your heads bowed. You can stay seated. That's fine. Stay seated. But if you need to come forward, please do. And we'll just have a few quiet moments together of commitment. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You for this morning. God, I thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You for the fact that we as believers